I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Haven't seen the sky so blue. Birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you. We are coming to you from J&J Garden Center, where the tomato frenzy is underway. And boy, a lot of listeners out here this morning. And Andy Stevenson is with us from J&J as well. And Andy, the reason people are here is because they know they're going to get a great deal on a high-quality tomato.
They are, you know, and these tomatoes are grown from seed right here in our own greenhouses. We started some of them months ago. We start them from seed and then transplant them into the larger containers, and then we pull off this big cell.
I was telling you that I love the fact that I can buy my tomatoes half price today in the larger containers, but you have something really for everyone. You have all sizes that I wasn't even aware of.
Yep, we've got little singles that are like 85 cents, and then, you know, because certainly somebody doesn't want a whole four-pack or something, and that's the next size up of, like, all cherry tomatoes.
So most people don't do that. Most people make you buy the six-pack, and then you have to give the others away.
You give them away. So, and that's the thing. So we try to cater to a little bit of every type of the gardener, from the small somebody planting them in a patio pot to the farmer out planting them in the field. We got singles and four packs and these larger size in the kind of comparable to a gallon. And those are the ones that are half off for today, and then it runs all next through next weekend.
Okay, I have to ask, though, what do you do to make sure that these are higher quality and are healthy? Because I have planted some from other places before that haven't done so well. And so what do you do to ensure that quality?
You know, we keep to the basics. You know, number one, plant them from seed, plant them right here on site. And then second, fertilize them the way we do. And then we control the growth with temperature. And once they get a certain height, we chill them off to start hardening them off and get ready. You know, you get tomatoes that are coming in from who knows where. You don't know, have they been sprayed with something? You have no idea what took place, you know, because you weren't in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nice thing where we do it from seed here, is we've got control from start to finish until that homeowner takes them home. And then hopefully we can give them, the homeowner, a lot of good advice and some other products so they can have a successful garden.
The great thing, too, about coming to J&J is people can see all the wonderful perennials that you have out that they can plant this very second.
You know, we've got everything, perennials, the shrubs, the trees, everything that's ready, from just trying to redo some stuff in the yard to that brand new homeowner. We've got everything to meet all your needs.
Did you see Ton's shopping list? He's got people texting him shopping to do their shopping.
I'm supposed to bring back about 80 or 100 pounds of grass seed, tomatoes, or some other things. Yeah, we did get a Facebook message in, somebody wanting to know the biggest, juiciest cherry tomato that's the sweetest.
Okay.
There's one called Husky Red Cherry Large. Probably if you want to go and cheat just a little bit, which is kind of fun with this one, it's called 4th of July. It's about the size of a ping pong ball. So it is a little bit larger, but the nice thing where they call it a 4th of July is that you're supposed to have tomatoes by the 4th of July. It's like 42 days is to tell you can get fruit off
of
it.
You know, I like that 4th of July variety because I have grown them several times in the past, and they will blossom before summer heat, and so you get tomatoes before it's, you know, solidly in the 100 degree, 95 to 100 degree range every day. And so I will usually get, and it's been maybe mid-July, but I'll get a flush of tomatoes out of those things in July, like it says, and then the rest of my tomatoes will start sometime late July, August, you know, just depending on when we cool down a bit. I really like that variety.
And I try to tell people, too, when you're buying tomatoes, you know, some people, you know, if you're doing canning, certainly they buy, typically they'll buy all the same kind. But look at the maturity dates on them, and that way you can get some that come on early, some that come a little, you know, mid, and then so that way you've always got tomatoes coming on, so you never go without.
Right, and during the tomato frenzy is the only time you can get those bigger containers at half price.
It is, and then they'll go to full price throughout the rest of the season.
Okay, we are at J&J Garden Center in Layton. Tomato frenzy is underway. Let's get back to our phone lines this morning, and let's see, we have Mark in Huntsville. Good morning, Mark. What can we help you with this morning?
Yeah, we're building a home up in Huntsville. We're on the east bench there by Old Snow Basin Road where we have a lot of scrub oak. I was wondering if we can transplant some of those native scrub oak, if they're not too big, to other areas.
They're tied together into the roots, and that's how they spread. And so if they were super small, you know, six inches, you could probably move them maybe a little bigger, but if you started getting them into 2 and 3 feet, you're probably going to run into problems.
Okay. And then in some areas we have to, you know, where we're putting the dirt out because we're on a hill, it would cover the base of some of those trunks up a couple of feet with, you know, topsoil. Is that okay? Or do
Not
I need to build
really.
Rocks around that?
That'll rob the roots of nitrogen. And okay. So in those areas where you need to raise grade, what may happen is you would lose the vigor from those trees, and over a period of 5 to 10 years, the ones that had too much soil on them would probably decline. But they would also start to send roots in, and new ones would replace them. But if you have to raise grade that much, you know, it's not immediately going to harm them, but over time it probably will.
It will. And then while I'm trimming the trees, trying to clean out the undesirable stuff, you know, where they're not you know, going sideways and stuff, what's the best time of year? Can I do that in the spring, or do I need to wait till the fall to do that?
You can do a little bit of that now, but the best time to do that for Huntsville would be sometime in February into March. I know that you get a lot more snow, and it may be less practical, but as soon as you get that snow melted off would be when you do it.
Okay, and then would you recommend painting the ends of those cuts with anything, treating them with anything?
Nope, just let the trees heal. Look up some fact sheets on pruning so you can make proper pruning cuts. As long as you do that, the trees will be fine. Before you go, I've got another question. Are you on well water out there?
I am.
Okay, before you get into your landscaping too much, if you can, if you're using that well water to land for your landscaping, test it because it may be a bit salty. And if it is, we're going to probably have to talk again on some things you can do to try to hold that down. But I've just seen that out in the Huntsville area, that some of those shallow wells can have a bit of salt in them.
Okay. I'll send that water in and get it checked.
Okay. Yep, either BYU or USU have soil labs you can do that at.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener would like to know, Tom, they have sandy soil and Bermuda grass. Would you recommend doing a little overseeding with a fescue, and what type?
No. They're going to either have to put up with the Bermuda grass or kill it out. The fescue will be outcompeted by it. And so what they might be able to do is there's a couple different products. There's one called Turflon Ester that they can use in the spring, and then another one called Bare Bermuda Grass Killer. It'll take a year or two of consistent spraying monthly with the two of them, but they can knock that fescue back, or not the fescue, but the Bermuda grass back. Then they could consider overseeding with a fescue or bluegrass, but that Bermuda grass in the middle of the summer will outcompete any cool season grass.
Okay, next listener says they planted new strawberry plants about a month ago. The leaves have turned brown and some of them have died. Did they plant them too early?
Probably. I think they got hit by frost. All hope is not lost, though. What I'd recommend doing is that they would let them grow. And if we're going to get cold again, cover them, because those stems are still probably okay. And I would suspect that new leaves would come up from the stems.
Next listeners in West Jordan, they have clay soil. They say they have some 25-year-old long-forgotten varieties of lavender that they think they're in too much shade now. Can they be transplanted?
they need to wait until they're dormant. I would suspect that they're breaking dormancy now. But late next fall, sometime in late October into mid-November, as long as they could get the majority of the root ball, they could probably move them.
Okay, and if they're not successful, they're wondering what variety of lavender would
grow
west.
And do you have some newer varieties of lavender that you recommend?
Yeah, they're just getting some of their lavenders in right now. I mean, you've got like Munstead and Hidecote and stuff like that. Those are kind of the tried and true ones. But there are a lot, of, and I don't know all the names of them right now, but they are getting a lot of new ones in. I haven't seen a lot of them yet. And that's probably where we talk about where they're breaking dormancy and getting ready. And so we buy in those off some other local growers, and they're probably just not ready. But there is, I think there's one called Excellence. But there is. There's some other ones that are out there.
Yeah, there. I would look, I would give it a month or two and look at some of these varieties because a lot of the newer ones will bloom longer than the old-fashioned. That Munstead and Hidecote that Andy mentioned are great. They're tried and true. They grow well in Utah. There's some new.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Horns coming out, they'll be dwarf or bigger. There's been a lot of breeding lately, and so it would be worth waiting a month or two and then hitting, you know, come up here, just hit your garden center, see what they're
out. They might actually be happier with a newer variety.
I think so, just because that breeding has made them, so instead of having a month to 6 weeks, you might get 2 months, 2.5 months out of some of these newer varieties.
All right. We're going to take a break. We are coming to you from J&J Garden Center, where the tomato frenzy is underway. You can give us a call at 801-575-8255 with your questions, or you can also text us your questions at 57500. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you, along with Andy Stevenson this morning, because we are out at J&J Garden Center for the tomato frenzy. Let's go to the phone lines, and Don is in Bountiful. Good morning, Don. What is your question?
Good morning, guys. I'm glad you're on today.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I want to plant a cherry tree. Is it too late, too early, what?
I'd recommend getting whatever fruit trees you need now, because in another month they may be sold out. People have discovered they may want to garden because you never know what's going to happen with your job and the economy. And then there's been a couple of big freezes on the East Coast that's really increased demand for fruit trees. So anything you need, I would get now.
Okay, I'll get it. J&J got them?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, we've been getting fruit trees in for, geez, sometime in January. But they go fast. Every time you get a batch in, they go. But we've still got a decent selection out there right now. I think they just had a bunch of semi-loads come in over the last few days. And with the weather being the way it was. But, yeah, come on in.
Yep, I'll head that way. Now, I have a question for Ton. So the guy over here at Lowe's that was looking at the cherry tree, he told me to make 4 or 5 vertical cuts in the root ball about a half inch deep before I planted.
You know, if it's root-bound, you can. But when you take that pot off, if the roots have just reached the edge of the pot, there's no reason to slice and dice your cherry tree up. It's just if you have a lot of circling roots, you don't go in farther than a quarter of an inch. But you can do that if it is root-bound.
Very good. Thank you much for your time.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says the leaves on their broccoli starts are turning a purplish-reddish color. The variety is Green Magic. Are they getting too much light under the grow lights?
Could be. Purpling in broccoli sometimes is too much, too intense light. You're getting a lot of what's called anthocyanin produced in there. Sometimes it could also be a deficiency, something like sulfur. Andy, when you grow your broccoli, do you ever see that happen?
You know, sometimes, too, I've seen if it gets a little cold, you can get that little bit of a dark tint to the leaves. So probably right now, honestly, and I'm not sure what location you live in, but if you've got broccoli, I'd probably get it out and get it planted outside.
You know, that happens with succulents, too. If I get them too close to the light, they kind of turn a purplish color.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely happens. One of our texters wants us to know that they do plant their tomatoes deep. It does work. that made them stronger, and especially when they have wind, they don't fall over. Okay, just wanted to reaffirm that. When is it warm enough to plant poinsettias outside? Somebody's got a poinsettia. They want to put it outside, Tom.
Andy,
come on.
Do you want to take this one?
Well, yeah, sure. You know, if it warmed up, if you were to put it outside, I'd leave it probably in a patio pot or something, but put it in a little bit more of a shady area. If not, the sun's going to bleach those leaves on it. And believe it or not, I'll actually, towards the end of sometime here in June, I'll actually start planting mine in the greenhouse for Christmas time. But, you know, you go to some climates and they are outside. Utah's typically not one.
Yeah, and it's a factor of our low humidity and very intense solar radiation because of our higher elevation. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's not acclimated to being outdoors. And so Andy's absolutely correct, keeping it in the shade. Even then, you may bring it outside for a couple hours, put it inside, and transition it a bit so that it has time to adjust. But then when you bring it in the fall, do the same thing because light levels in the home are going to be far lower. And so you're going to start bringing that in and transition it back indoors so that you don't have all the leaves fall off or something.
Right. Scott Green is one of our listeners. He runs an irrigation company in Eastlake, and he wants to remind people to think about water and water conservation when they're planting.
Yes, exactly. And that's one thing, too, that we talk about is most of the time when we hear people having problems with whether it's a vegetable garden or perennials or annuals, it's overwatering issues. And we just do. We need to be real, and this year especially, we need to be conservative and cut back on that watering and just follow the guidelines. But we do. We tend to water our plants way too often.
Next person says they have an apricot tree that has grown limbs higher than their 12-foot ladder will reach. Ton, can they prune the tops?
They can. I mean, those apricot trees oftentimes do get big. And when they start reaching up there, you can prune those branches out, but they get angry. And when they get to that point, you want to make sure and not prune out your lower fruit-producing branches because you will start pruning everything out up high, but you don't have any fruit-producing branches down low, and you kind of get into a pickle a little bit. And so be very careful, and they can do that, but make sure that you're not limiting it so that all your growth's on the very edge and of the branches up high.
And don't make your trees mad at you.
No.
Can forsythias be transplanted by cuttings?
Not really. I mean, the theory, people always are asking me, like, can I just do that from cuttings? Sometimes, yes. And it's a hobby thing. You're not saving any money, and you need to have equipment and know how to do it sometimes. And so to get a forsythia bush up to even a quart or a gallon size, what do you think, Andy, from cutting to out 2 years from a cutting?
Yeah, I would think so. And you'd have to be very careful, too, on how you did it and just make sure you have it in the right growing condition and make sure you get that soft tissue when you...
It's not easy like a geranium, is what you're telling us.
No, these woody plants take a while, and you need specialized equipment. It's possible, but you're doing it for the challenge and not to save money.
Well, if you're doing it for the challenge, then it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it to save money, not a great idea.
No.
All right. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we're going to come back. We are at J&J Garden Center talking about tomatoes today for Tomato Frenzy. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some things that you can do to make sure that your tomatoes don't get some sort of diseases during the summer. We always hear about certain kinds of diseases. We're going to talk about ways to make sure your tomatoes are healthy. Stay with us, the Greenhouse Show, coming to you from J&J Garden Center, where the tomato frenzy is underway. Hope you're having a great weekend.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. now available anywhere you get your podcasts.